Uvaca, Kutra Chatur Bhagavata, Maitreyena Shasangama, Kadava Saha Samvada, Etad Varnayana Prabho, Raja Uvaca. The king said, Kutra, wherein? Shatu, with Vidura, Bhagavata, and with his grace, Maitreyena, with Maitreya, Asa, there was, Sangama, meeting, Kada, when, Va, also, Saha, with, Samvada, discussion, Etat, this, Varnaya, describe, Naha, unto me, Prabhu, O my Lord. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The king asked Shukdev Goswami, where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between Saint Vidura and His Grace Maitreya Muni? Kindly oblige, my Lord, and describe this to us. Purport. Exactly as Shaunaka Rishi inquired of Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami replied, so Srila Shukdev Goswami replied to King Parikshit's inquiries. The king was very anxious to understand the meaningful discussion that took place between the two great souls. Text 4. Nahi alpartho dayastasya vidurasya malatmanaha tasmin variyasi prashnaha sadhu vado pabhrimhitaha. Translation. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful, on the highest level, and approved by learned circles. Purport. Questions and answers among different classes of men have different value. Inquiries by mercantile men in a business exchange cannot be expected to be highly purposeful in spiritual values. Questions and answers by different classes of men can be guessed by the caliber of the persons concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, the discussion was between Lord Shri Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Person and the Supreme Devotee respectively. The Lord admitted Arjuna to be His devotee and friend, Bhagavad Gita 4.3. And therefore, any sane man can guess that the discussion was on the topic of the Bhakti Yoga system. Actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita is based on the principle of Bhakti Yoga. There is a difference between karma and karma yoga. Karma is regulated action for the enjoyment of the fruit by the performer. But karma yoga is action performed by the devotee for the satisfaction of the Lord. Karma yoga is based on bhakti, or pleasing the Lord, whereas karma is based on pleasing the senses of the performer himself. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one is advised to approach a bona fide spiritual master when one is actually inclined to question from an elevated level of spiritual understanding. A common man who has no interest in spiritual values has no need to approach a spiritual master just as a matter of following fashion. As a student, Maharaj Parikshit was serious about learning the science of God, and Shukdev Goswami was a bona fide spiritual master in the transcendental science. Both of them knew that the topics discussed by Vidura and Rishi Maitreya were elevated. And thus Maharaj Parikshit was very interested in learning from the bona fide spiritual master. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Gayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled Questions by Vidura. So here so far we have heard, and in the previous canto we heard that the sages of Naimisharanya, they wanted to hear from Suta Goswami about the meeting which took place between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. So they were very eager to hear that. So in the previous canto, we were hearing about the Srishti Leela. We were hearing about the creation. And then they asked about, they wanted to hear about the discussion which took place between Vidura and Maitreya. So then, Maharaj Parikshit, he also asked the same question to Shukdev Goswami. And so Shukdev Goswami, he relates, he replies to Parikshit Maharaj as to what took place between these two great souls. So in today's verse, we are hearing about Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukdev Goswami, where and when did the meeting and discussion take place? So Vidura is a great soul. Vidura is, he's actually Yamraj. So, but he was cursed to take birth as a Shudra. Therefore, he ended up becoming Vidura. So there's this pastime of this sage. His name was Manduka Muni. So one time what happened was some theft had taken place. And these thieves, they were running for their life. And the government officials were chasing after them. So these thieves, these dacoits, they took shelter in the hermitage of Manduka Muni. So then the law enforcement authorities, they came there. So they took everyone to prison, whoever was there, including the sage, Manduka Muni. And so then the judge, especially in the Vedic times, the punishment for theft was very severe. And the reason it was very severe, so it doesn't happen again. We see today, punishment for some very serious crimes is not very severe. You know, just after a few years, you can be let out of the system. So then people do it again. But we see that in the Vedic times, especially for serious crimes, the punishment was very heavy. So the person gets, person who has committed the crime, they reform. They get reformed and also their karma is burned. So anyway, the punishment was that they'll all be killed. Those dacoits will be killed. And the punishment was that they'll be pierced by a lance. That was very heavy punishment, you know. There's a lance and they'll be like put on top of it. So then the sage who had nothing to do with it, he was also about to be killed. But then the king, he found out that a sage is being punished and he is a great sage. So the king, he personally went there and he stopped that execution and he begged pardon from the sage and he said, he apologized for what his men were doing because the judge had sentenced. So then the Manduka Muni was freed and then he went to Yamraj. He went to Yamraj and he asked him, how come I was being punished so severely for an offense which I didn't even commit? And then Yamraj told him that when you were a little boy, you pierced an ant with a straw. So for that sinful activity, you're being punished like that. So then he got very angry and he cursed Yamraj that you will be born as a Shudra. So then Yamraj, he took birth as Vidura. So Vidura, he was born from the womb of a maid servant of Ambika. Is it Ambika or Ambalika? Ambika. I think Ambika or Ambalika. One of the wives of Pandu, or the mother of Pandu. So he was begotten like that. And he was the mother of Pandu. So he was the brother of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. So he never became the king because he was born from took birth from the womb of a Shudra woman. So he couldn't become a king. But he was treated very nicely by Bhishma Dev and he was given all the facilities. And Dhritarashtra was very dear to Vidura because they were brothers. So Dhritarashtra was very blind by nature. He was physically blind, but even he was spiritually blind. So Vidura had a lot of affection for his brother Dhritarashtra. And in the Mahabharata and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear how Vidura is trying to elevate Dhritarashtra. So then what happened over a period of time? Vidura left the palace, as we heard in, I think, yesterday's class. Yesterday or the day before? I mean, we definitely hear it in the first canto in the 13th chapter that Vidura, he left the palace because he was insulted by Duryodhan. So where the palace in which Vidura was living was actually non-different from Vrindavan, because Krishna used to visit that palace. So therefore it was, the paraphernalia of the Lord is non-different from him. So that palace was non-different from Vrindavan, because Krishna used to visit there a lot. And he used to even visit Vidura's home. And he didn't care about Duryodhan's house. So Dhritarashtra, one time he asked Vidura for his advice. And Vidura told him that you should... this is when the Pandavas, they came back from exile after 13 years. They came back from exile and they asked for the due share. And Duryodhan refused it. So then Dhritarashtra asked for Vidura's counsel. What should be done? So Vidura said, you should give them the kingdom because they've been in exile. And they deserve it. They are the rightful owners of that kingdom. So because Vidura said that you should give the kingdom to them and not to Duryodhan. So Duryodhan, he took that as a great offense. And he insulted Vidura. And then Vidura left the palace. So then this was an opportunity for Vidura to go around and travel and meet Maitreya Rishi. So Vidura, in his travels, he went all over India and he met Maitreya Rishi and he got instructed from him, and he even met Uddhava. So Vidura took instructions from Uddhava also. So then after getting all these instructions, he came back to Hastinapur. And this time he came to instruct Dhritarashtra from what he heard from Maitreya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that the teachings he received from Maitreya, he came to deliver those to Dhritarashtra. Because Dhritarashtra was attached to his situation. He was an old man. He was at the fag end of his life. And he was still attached to worldly comforts. And he was not inclined to spiritual life. So then he came and he gave him very cutting instructions, which we hear in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we see that this chapter is entitled Questions by Vidura. And Suta Goswami is also asking... question. No, sorry, Shuka Uvacha. So Shukdev Goswami is speaking. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions to Shukdev Goswami, that where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between Vidura and his great Maitreya Rishi? So we see life is all about questions and answers. So Prabhupada, he says that at every moment we are asking questions. At every moment of our life, we are asking someone a question and someone is replying to our questions. So this questions and answers doesn't just take place amongst the human species, but it is taking place amongst all species of life, in all species. So in the morning, the birds, they wake up, they also ask questions. You know, how are you doing? Was the nest comfortable? Did you have a good sleep? Okay, where will I find food today? I'm going there. Where are you going? And then they come back in the evening. Then again, there's questions and answers. So did you get your meal? How much did you have to hunt? Was it easy? Did you get attacked? So in this way, everyone is asking questions and asking questions. And we cannot live a moment without asking questions. So even in the human form of life, we see right from a young age, we are asking questions. We see young children, they are very inquisitive. They're asking, mommy, daddy, what is this, what is that, why are you doing this, why are you eating this, why are you wearing like this. So we see even right from a young age, we're very inquisitive and we are always asking questions. So sometimes when I'm driving the car, I switch on the radio and on the analog channel, sometimes they are beaming the discussion going on in the parliament, and that is also nothing but questions and answers. So the opposition is asking questions, is putting questions to those who are in power, and then there's, you know, back and forth going on, and they're arguing, and there's so much noise going on in the background. So it's all about questions. They're asking questions about economic development, about the welfare of people of Australia. And in fact, there's even a TV show on the ABC. It's called Q&A, Questions and Answers. So in this TV show, so many prestigious people are invited to be on the panel. There's usually a panel from anywhere from 3 to 6 people. So all these elite people of society, they're very articulate, they have very influential positions. They're invited on the panel, and the host will ask them questions. And members of the audience, they ask them questions, and over the internet people ask questions, and over the radio or the telephone people ask questions, and they reply to those questions. So we see life is full of questions and answers, and even Bhagavatam is full of questions and answers. In fact, Bhagavatam begins with the 6 questions by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami. They put 6 questions. And then Maharaj Parikshit, towards the end of the first canto, he's asking questions. And those questions are the basis for the entire Bhagavatam. So from canto 2, the Bhagavatam really begins. Shukdev Goswami begins to systematically answer those questions. And then that's the whole Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Parikshit, he asks a question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Like that, he asks 3 questions. So Bhagavatam is like a dialogue within a dialogue. So here we are hearing about the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukdev Goswami. And before that, the question was asked by the sages to Suta Goswami. So that's another dialogue. So then we'll go into Vidura and Maitreya. And in the last chapter, we heard about Brahma and Narada. So there's like a dialogue within a dialogue. So it should not be a monologue. So sometimes some classes are very monologue. We see that the speaker speaks and there's no time for, or there's no questions. They don't give an opportunity for questions. But whereas we see in spiritual life, inquiry plays a very important role. Questions are very important. And the speaker should encourage the audience to ask questions. They should not put negative pressure on the audience. So the negative pressure can be, the audience can feel that if I ask a question, that's a stupid question. So any question is a good question. Of course, the questions have to be relevant to what's being discussed. Or sometimes the size of the audience is very big, so they feel shy in asking a question. Or there's the time pressure. There's not enough time to ask questions. Or sometimes the teacher will, or the speaker will insult the student. You know, this is the stupid question what you have asked. Or, you know, they'll leave comments which will put them down. So the questions play a very important role in our life. And questions are important. It is said that thinking is driven by questions. So questions play a very important role. And we see, like, even in taking a material sense, the field of physics and biology has developed so much because of people have asked questions. Those who are researching, they've asked questions, deep questions. So those deep questions have led to their thought process being stimulated. And so many fields, they stay alive because questions are being asked. So all these fields would not develop more and more unless questions are put forward. And questions are also the driving force in thinking. So because of questions, we have to think and we have to rethink what we are doing. So we see that inquiry plays a very important role in our life, and especially in spiritual life. So spiritual life is not blind following. So questions, they define tasks, they express problems, and they delineate issues. And then answers should generate further questions. So we see that's what is taking place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's, of course, Parikshit Maharaj is a very good student. One of the duty of a student is to be inquisitive. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantita jnanam jnanina sattva darshana. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena. So the disciple or the student has to be inquisitive in spiritual life to make progress. But the teacher should also present in such a way, the guru or the spiritual master or the speaker should present in such a way that it leads to questions. So they say there's two ways of teaching. There is, one is called coverage and other is called engaged thinking. So in coverage, the subject matter is covered, but the students, their thinking is not stimulated, so they don't really ask questions. And another is engaged thinking. So we see Shukdev Goswami, he's presenting in such a way that Parikshit Maharaj is asking more and more questions. Right from, we see the whole Bhagavatam. Can you please tell me this? Can you further elaborate? Can you please tell me about this subject matter? So as I was saying before, that the human psychology is such that we are always asking questions. But the problem with questions of a mundane nature, which we hear on television or on Q&A or in the parliament, so many questions are being asked. But the problem with those questions are, because they are of mundane nature, they lead to repeated birth and death. Because those questions have no spiritual values. Those questions have no, they do not give rise to any spiritual benefit. So Shukdev Goswami, he says in the second chapter of the first canto, this is a very nice verse. Munaya sadhu prishtaham bhavadvi loka mangalam yat krishna, what's that? Yat krishna samprashna yanatma suprasidati. So he says, O sages, I've been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So the problem with mundane questions is, first of all, they don't solve any material problems. In fact, they increase the material problems. So sometimes I switch on the radio, I hear all these questions going on in the parliament. And they're asking so many questions, they give the answer. But the problems don't get solved. In fact, the problems are increasing. And also, such questions, they don't satisfy the heart. Whereas if we read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is also a dialogue. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. And when we read the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam, it satisfies the heart. We feel satisfied and we feel purified. But when we hear mundane questions and answers, it agitates the consciousness. After some time, it's like, okay, turn off the radio. So it is said in the 10th canto, Krishna Charita Kali Kalmana Gnam. Questions which are in relationship to Krishna, they are the panacea for all material suffering, especially in the age of Kali. Kali Kalmana Gnam. So especially in the age of Kali, such questions are the panacea for all material suffering. So of course the attitude of the disciple in asking questions is also very important. So questions should not be asked in a challenging spirit. In fact, questions should be asked in a humble spirit, in a mood of submission, in a mood of surrender, and in a mood of rendering service. So there's like this Sunday, Sunday feast, I was giving class. And after the talk, one young man, he raised his hand, and he was asking a question about love and controlling the senses. He asked the question, and as I was starting to reply, he would immediately intervene and say, again ask a question, same thing. And this happened 3 or 4 times. So his attitude was very challenging. He was not very humble. There was quite a bit of pride in asking the question. Like he knew better. So when a question is asked, it should be asked in a humble state of mind. Because if we think we know something, then how can we learn? If we think we know. And even in school, if we go to school, you just can't ask the professor, tell me this right now. There has to be some humility. And there has to be submission. And Prabhupada, he says that inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. So inquiry is very important. If we are not inquiring, then our growth is very limited in Krishna consciousness. So inquiries are of two types. One inquiry is on the tattva, is to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And the other one is the application of that, of the teachings in our life, in our own life. So both types of inquiry are very important. And in fact, that's why one of the items of devotional service is to inquire from the spiritual master, which Rupa Goswami states. It's to inquire from the spiritual master how to render devotional service. So the relationship between a spiritual master and a disciple is very dynamic. So it is the duty of the disciple to ask questions from the spiritual master or from the spiritual masters. Is to always ask questions. And of course, those questions should be relevant. Those questions should be about spiritual subject matters and how they can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We should not ask questions like, where can I get my car fixed? You go to have a darshan with your spiritual master and ask, my car got punctured, where can I get it fixed? Which is the cheapest place where I can buy a watch? You're traveling all over the world, you must be knowing where to get the best watches and which are the best deals. So can you please tell me where I can find one? No, the purpose of inquiry is to inquire into how I can best serve Krishna in my present situation. That's the whole idea behind inquiry. And inquiry is also... And many times, spiritual masters, they cannot instruct their disciples because the disciples are not ready to follow. So it's they're in a catch-22 situation. If the disciple is not willing to follow, and if they instruct, then he'll be committing the third offense to the chanting of the holy names, which is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So in order to save the disciple from that, then they don't instruct because their mood is not to inquire. The mood is just to get their ideas rubber stamped. I want to do such and such. Can you please sanction it? So then there's no real value in having a spiritual master. We don't get all the benefit. Real initiation takes place in the heart. That's when real initiation takes place. So of course the yajna, all that is very important. But the initiation takes place in the heart. It can take place before the ceremony, during, after, or never. So we see Prabhupada, he was initiated in the heart by his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So when he met him for the first time, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj instructed him, you're a young man, spread the Krishna consciousness movement in the Western countries, in the English-speaking countries. And he took that instruction to his heart. So he was initiated right then. Then he took the formal initiation 13 years or something later. But he was actually initiated right from the beginning. So a spiritual master is not just about putting his picture on the wall and offering some incense or flowers every day. But as we sing in Guru Puja, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitite Kori Akhya, that my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So as Prabhupada says in the purport to text number 4, that a common man who has no interest in spiritual values has no need to approach a spiritual master just as a matter of following fashion. So we don't accept a spiritual master because everyone in the community is accepting one. And if I accept a spiritual master, then I'll get a position. I'll become a Bhakti Vriksha leader, or I can give Bhagavatam class, or I'll be recognized in the society, or I can, you know, get name, fame and recognition. So the main purpose, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, is to inquire. It's to inquiry. And when we inquire, then we have to be prepared to follow. Otherwise we are committing offenses. So Krishna conscious spiritual inquiries, they enliven the speaker also. We see in the Bhagavatam time and time again that the speaker, like Shukdev Goswami or Suta Goswami, they get enlivened by the questions they are being asked. So for example, in the second canto, 5th chapter, text 9, this is after Narada Muni, he put so many questions to his spiritual master, Lord Brahma. And in fact, the chapter was also entitled something, Questions. Then, what was the chapter 8 title? Questions by Narada? Or the chapter 9 is Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. And chapter 10 is Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So anyway, Narada Muni, he asks questions by King Parikshit. Yeah, thank you. So then Lord Brahma said, "My dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead." So here we can see that Lord Brahma, he is enlivened by the questions of Narada Muni. And devotees, they ask questions for the benefit of others. So though Arjuna, he knew spiritual knowledge, he knew everything, but still he asked questions for the benefit of others. And especially in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking about the opulences of the Lord. And then he inquires into the universal form of the Lord for those who are not as advanced as him. For those who are stuck on the material platform, he's asking questions. So sometimes questions are asked for the benefit of others also. So one of the traps in spiritual lives, as the years go by, is not to ask questions, because we can fall into the trap. As I was hearing this lecture, this devotee was saying one of the traps is that we can think that so many years have passed by, I know everything, I don't need to ask questions. And that will stunt our growth. So even as time passes by, we should ask questions from senior devotees and from others. And even the Supreme Lord himself, he asked questions also. So Krishna asked questions to Uddhava, we see. Because Uddhava was a very confidential friend of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked so many questions to Ramananda Rai. So there's a full chapter, it's called, what's the chapter title? Questions by the Lord to Ramananda Rai. So he asked so many questions, like for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Out of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost?" Then Ramananda Rai replied, "He who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist." So whatever questions Mahaprabhu asked, Ramananda, he replied, but the replies were in relationship to Krishna. And then another question he asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? So Ramananda Rai replied, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. So then another one he asked, out of all the liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Rai, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. So in this way they pass the whole night by asking questions and answers. So Mahaprabhu, he asked questions, and Ramananda Rai, he replied. And the whole night they were dancing madly, they were chanting, and they were crying. So this is how they passed their night. So questions about the Supreme Lord, they have the potency to stimulate our love for Krishna, to rise us to the platform of pure love for Krishna, and stimulate that rasa even more. So we see advanced devotees, they also ask questions. So one time I was hearing a lecture by Radhanath Maharaj, and this is when His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he was about to quit his body. So then Radhanath Maharaj went to spend some time with him, give him his association. And Maharaj was mentioning that the whole night they were having Krishna Katha, the whole night, for many, many hours. They were asking each other questions, and they were stimulating the bhakti rasa. And Krishna, he asked questions also from Uddhava. So he would ask, now, what should I do in this situation? At the time of the, when Rajasuya Yagya, around that time, Krishna asked Uddhava, there was a situation in which Jarasandha had to be killed. Jarasandha had, he had taken into captivity kings, or I can't recall that pastime right now. So the conclusion to today's lecture is that questions are very important for progress in our spiritual life. So are there any questions? I'm sorry, we don't have much time. As I myself was saying, there should be time for questions. So it will take some questions, yes.
In the purport to text 3,
yeah.
Why do you think Prabhupada refers to Sukadeva Swami replying to King Parikshit's inquiries exactly as Sonaka Rishi was replied by Sudha Goswami when the conversation between Sudha Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit occurred before the conversation of Sonaka and Sutta?
Okay, so your question is why?
Was Prabhupada referred to the conversation that took place last.
Okay, because
as being followed by Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, which happened first.
Because Shanaka Rishi had inquired in the previous canto, we heard in the last verses that the sages said by Shanaka Rishi, they wanted to know about the meeting between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. So then Sudha Goswami said that this same question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukdev. So I'll recite that version. Yeah, that's my understanding. So he's they're referring to parampara here. The principle is that it's going back in the disciplic succession and reciting what he has heard from his authority. Is that satisfying, Prabhu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Prabhu has risen. You have to raise your hand. Okay.
Srila Prabhupada's writing is very action oriented.
Yes.
He has written.
Yes.
He wants education.
Yeah.
He's not very specific in Bhaktivedanta class.
Yeah.
Prabhupada's writing is so effective. That's why he gives so many pure devotees.
Yeah. in summary and in detail. You can ask any question to the spiritual master as long as it is related to your service and your situation. So sometimes, as an example, though it might even sound a bit mundane, but if it is related to your spiritual life, you can ask that question to your spiritual master. For example, like a devotee can ask that, should I get married? So it's a very mundane thing, but it affects our spiritual life. So if one has a doubt, you know, as an example. Or even, one can ask, you know, I'm not keeping good health, what should I do? So some spiritual masters there will help. Because good health is important for to render devotional service. So we can ask questions related to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the practical application in our lives. Prabhu, you can ask me, we'll end here. You can ask me personally. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Yeah.